You know, people need to be met where they're at, and that's where Christ meets them. If they're down, Christ is there to pick them up. And, you know, we are the mind of Christ. We're the heart of Christ, the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ to pick them up. You know, sometimes, yeah, we got to say the truth, but we got to do it with love. We got to meet them where they're at. And because a life with Jesus is about being raised up. You know, it's about redemption, restoration, you know, and this is what mercy is all about. Starts with just your approach, meeting them where they are and building them up.
With Tabella, the number one free Catholic app for parishes and groups, you can do it all in one safe Catholic space. Follow your parish, join ministry groups, and stay up to date with everything happening in your community. Enjoy prayers, daily gospel readings, the rosary, your favorite Catholic podcasts, and more devotional content, all completely free, with no paywalls or subscriptions. Click the link above or below to download the Tabella app today. Are you searching for a homeschooling program to build strong, faithful Catholic students? Mother of Divine Grace School has served families worldwide for almost 30 years, guiding them in implementing a truly Catholic, classical education right at home. Founded by author and homeschooling mother Laura Berquist, Mother of Divine Grace School is fully accredited and provides homeschooling consulting services that support parents as the primary educators. To learn more about enrolling, call 805-646-5818 or click the link above or below in the description.
So welcome back to A Reason for Hope. We're super excited to find you here with us today, listening and viewing our podcast, and super pumped, super excited today to have a special guest with us, Father Leonard Mary from EWTN. He's part of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. Is that right, Father?
That's right.
Right. And we're just going to share your story today, and we're going to find out a little bit more about EWTN, the Mother Angelica story, and how it intertwines with your story, and really to understand how we could evangelize really in the 21st century. Make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to basically start, let's go a little bit back with your story. Start with that. So tell me a little bit about yourself. When did you become a friar? You know, your history there?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from East Los Angeles, California, born and raised there. You know, I discerned for many years, came into the community about 27. You know, for, you know, many of those years is just searching, you know, finding what's right. And, you know, this could be a very troubling time for a young man, but, you know, you give it over to God and, well, discerning, God is doing a great work. God is preparing. You know, I was involved in different ministries around the parish, and you know, a missionary group, lay missionary group, all things preparing me for my vocation. Now, I worked for a department store, was doing some business education there that they offered for free. So taking advantage of the opportunity, and then hey, the Lord at some point, you know, is calling me to religious life. You know, I had gotten to a point where I was just busy doing things at church. You know, like I get home from work, go straight to the church. Weekends was, hey, you know, there volunteering, serving people, serving the Lord, praying. I got to a point I need more of the Lord. And, you know, St. Francis, he's always been a patron, my confirmation saint. And, you know, this community came to mind while I was in prayer. You know, I was already going to Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament at the time. And so everything just fit, you know, the community, the pillars of the community is, of course, the Franciscan charism, Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, promotion of it, and devotion to Our Lady. And so, yeah, that just all fit in, gave me peace. And hey, thanks be to God, I joined the community in 2002.
Wow.
22 years later.
Did you find out about the community watching EWTN?
Watching too much TV.
Well, EWTN's not too
bad. EWTN, yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah. You know? But hey, I remember we got it. My parents got it around 1996. So, you know, I didn't live there, But I used to go to their house and watch it. You know, I like doing the Rosary from the Holy Land and watching the Mass and the homilies and things, some of the live shows. And Mother Angelica, you know, I mean, she spoke to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about that history, how Mother Angelica essentially founded, you know, your community.
Right.
And what that looked like in the beginning years and how it's evolved now to be really the spiritual arm of EWTN, right?
Yeah. Well, so Mother Angelica founded the network and it aired for the first time on August 15th, 1981. And at that time, she was inspired to start a men's community, one that would be Franciscan and one that would provide for the spiritual needs of this new network, the Turner Word Television Network. And so it took a while for this inspiration to come to fruition. The network in the beginning years, it was a slow growth. Eventually, going into like the mid, late 80s, people started to hear more about it. There were more cable companies now acquiring the channel and adding it to their service options. And by 1987, there were 24 hours a day broadcast. And it was that same year where Mother Angelica did found our community. You know, she had some of her close priest friends help her out with administration, canonical work, and things like that. One of her good friends, a priest from Florida, came over to help start the community. One of the founding members was Father Joseph, who actually was an employee of EWTN as an engineer. And then so she invited him to join the community. And so it started with just a few friars. And it's been slow growth ever since. It's better to grow slow. You know, I mean, you can, you know, it's not so much quantity, but the quality. And you could, you know, really develop people spiritually and have a strong focus on formation. Yeah. And so ever since then, hey, we've been preaching the word, evangelizing, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody knows you guys because you celebrate Mass on the live stream on EWTN.
Right.
You know, you the spiritual art, whenever there's a spiritual component or a priest, they know that you're wearing the brown.
Right. And then we got this right here. Hey, the monstrance.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's right. Tell us the connection between that and Mother Angelica and her devotion.
Well, that begins really with St. Francis, because St. Francis had a very profound devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, you know, where he'd tell the brothers that anywhere where the Blessed Sacrament was reserved, they were to approach it with all awe and reverence, and that they were to have clean sanctuaries and churches, because there is Jesus present. And so it all starts out right there. And then, of course, St. Clare, the first female follower. You know, there's this amazing story where St. Clare, in her years of being sick, while she was there in the convent, and the city of Assisi was now being invaded, you know, by the Muslim armies, and there was a threat that they would cross over to the cloistered walls. So they went to tell St. Clare. They brought her before the Blessed Sacrament, and she prayed. And right there in front of the Blessed Sacrament, as soon as she started praying, the Saracens went away. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. Here was the Lord, his presence of power, and they just could not withstand it. So ever since the founding of the Franciscan movement by St. Francis, with St. Clare, we've had a deep devotion to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. It was true Mother Angelica. She belonged to a community, the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration, was founded in France in 1854. And so they do 24 adoration, cloister nuns. And so this is where we're deeply rooted, our charism, in that love Mother Angelica had for the Blessed Sacrament and our Father, St. Francis. And so this is why we wear the monstrance, because we give ourselves to the Lord. That is one of the pillars, the foundations of our life, is to have a holy hour a day, every day, to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament as much as we can, and to promote Eucharistic adoration. So we wear it proudly on our chest, you know. And here is Ave Maria, right there, right?
Oh, wow.
In the bottom,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
there.
I see, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it serves as a reminder to people that Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Father. Tell us what it was like to have worked and met Mother Angelica, because I know when you became ordained and became part of the community,
right.
I mean, she was active.
Well, When I joined, it was about a year before when she had her strokes, which debilitated her for the rest of her life. And so she was, she didn't do as much as before. And she had committed her life to prayer. She was so debilitated that she couldn't even speak. You know, the stroke affected the use of her motor skills now. And so she was just really confined to the cloister. You know, she stopped doing the TV ministry, but she would come out and visit with people, especially the friars. So we had an opportunity just to spend time with her, and much of the time was just in silence. Mm-hmm. But here you have a saint, you know, here you have a powerful woman of God. Yeah. with just tremendous faith, tremendous love. And so even in silence, she's, you know, like she's speaking to you, you know, it's God's love flowing through her. You know, here's this woman who's uniting herself with the passion of Christ through her own suffering. And that was speaking volumes in those early days of my part in the community, just being there to witness that and to be in her presence, you know, just her worshiping God and praying. And she would often put her hands out and pray over us.
Yeah.
You know, in silence. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So before this interview, you and I went out to lunch and we were talking, and you shared the story about you meeting Mother Angelica when you were 13-14-year-old boy.
13, yeah,
so maybe you could talk about the impression and how vibrant and really of a powerful communicator she was. I mean, that was her gift, right?
Yes.
I mean, she was able to communicate in such a way that was relatable, understandable, and transformative. I mean,
people were really, and
you look at those old shows, I mean, she had amazing wit. You know, maybe you could tell us a little bit about just experiencing that at a young age. And really, that was really planting seeds for you, right?
Oh, it was, yeah.
Share that a little bit.
So here I am at either 12 or 13 years old. This is 1987. I remember it was during the summer months. And of course, you know, in the summertime, you're riding your bike, you're going to the public pool and all that. And I can remember my mom and dad pulling me out of those things and say, hey, we're going to go see Mother Angelica. I says, okay, you know, I had no choice. You know, I lived under their roof. And so here we go to St. John Vianney Church in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Mother Angelica speaking, doing some fundraising. And we get there early and we're able to almost sit in the front, you know, in the front pews. And so here she is. Here's this woman. And you knew she was a woman of God. You know, she's like your grandma speaking to you. No, and hey, you know, she's speaking with such faith. She's telling the story of how she became a sister, how she was inspired to come to Alabama and found a monastery. And, you know, in between that, you know, she's humorous and, you know, she's just speaking to everybody at every age. You know, it's just that type of engagement, you know, and so like, hey, I listened attentively and still remember that at the time. Then, I remember one little story she spoke, was that she had another habit before, and they used to wear a large crucifix. And she was saying, well, people often ask me why I wear such a large crucifix. And I tell them, I can't find a bigger one. So, you know, my kid mind right there. And I says, well, hey, Mother, there's a big one on the altar behind you. I wanted to say that. But, you know, looking at Mother Angelica, she was a woman who was, of course, very down to earth, but very street smart. And that's what you got from her. So I didn't want to mention it because, you know, I didn't want her to scold me or anything like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's just something I took from there. But yeah, I mean, Mother was a woman who was ahead of her time. The Holy Spirit working with her powerfully. And, you know, here she is back in the early 80s doing these live shows, Mother Angelica Live, you know, into the 90s. And, you know, these programs are very relevant even for today, you know, for what's happening in the world. And God still speaks to us through her. You know, you sometimes you're having a problem or whatever, you know, you're facing some kind of crisis in life. You turn on the TV, Mother Angelica, and hear God speaks to you through her.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
She was, didn't mince words. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, seeing EWTN, I was really taken back that, and from what I read, she got in trouble, or there were some bishops that weren't happy with the way she would deliver the truth, because it was just black and white for her. You know, either it was truth or it wasn't. I'm sure that has given the community a sense of really parameters as to how to express the faith, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, very, very orthodox, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Sure, of course.
Right? I always listen to the sermons, the homilies, and EW. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, see, really, Mother Angelica, you know, she is a woman who loved Jesus, loved her spouse, and it broke her heart when people said anything blasphemous against Jesus or his church, or when they tried to mislead people, or when they watered down the truth. So she spoke up, you know, even sometimes to even some of the hierarchy in the church. And, you know, of course they would be upset over it and all
right.
that. But she took it as an offense to her lover, her spouse, Jesus Christ. And so she defended him. That's what it was all about. So it's all rooted in love, in her love. And so we as a community, you know, we preach the truth of Jesus Christ, his teachings and his church. And we strive to do this with love. The love that St. Francis teaches us how to love Christ and follow him. And of course, being inspired by Mother Angelica. So this is what we're committed to. We stay in line with the church. You know what I mean? And right there in the middle, not extreme, not watered down, but right there in the center, you know, the Orthodox teachings of the magisterium.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Looking to stay connected with your Catholic community and deepen your faith? Meet Tabella, the number one free Catholic app for parishes and groups. With Tabella, you can follow parishes, join ministry groups, or even manage your own apostolate. Stay connected with everything happening in your community, all in one safe Catholic space. Plus, enjoy prayers, daily gospel readings, the rosary, and top Catholic podcasts like Father Mike Schmitz and Abiding Together, all for free with no paywalls. Click the link above or below to download the Tabella app today. Together, let's bring the world closer to the sacraments. Mother of Divine Grace School has served homeschooling families worldwide for almost 30 years. Founded by author and homeschooling mother, Laura Berquist, Mother of Divine Grace School is fully accredited and passionate about supporting parents as the primary educators. Laura states, "We exist to help Catholic families raise their children in a living Catholic culture in their homes, mentoring them in using the MODG Catholic Classical Curriculum to lead their children to good judgment concerning the good, true, and beautiful. With effective school-wide learning goals, students are formed to be active learners, effective communicators, independent thinkers, and multifaceted individuals. Graduates have been accepted into 18 of the top 25 schools in the nation and pursue degrees across a wide variety of fields. Visit their virtual open house to sign up for free Q&A sessions with their admissions team. To learn more about enrolling, call 805-646-5818 or click the link above or below in the description.
Tell me a little bit about the community and really who they serve, first and foremost, EWTN spiritually, yeah. Right? Okay. But there are other things that you guys do, right?
Yeah, so, you know, our mission is to go out there and find souls that are away from God. And so one of our models is a scripture passage to seek out the lost and bring back the strayed. And so we're going out to souls to tell them about Jesus Christ and his saving message. And we do that, of course, in a variety of ways. Our primary apostolate is to provide for the spiritual needs of EWTN. So there we are providing a spiritual support for the employees. For the EWTN globally, we do, of course, the masses, a live TV mass. We do another mass during the day. We have confessions available for the people in the surrounding community and the employees. You know, some of our friars do spiritual direction for some of the workers of EWTN. We also provide spiritually for the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration, the monastery Mother founded in Alabama, which is now at the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament in our north of EWTN. We have four friars that reside there and do masses and talks for pilgrims and things like that, holy hours, healing services and things. And then we also provide spiritually for the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word. And their convent is about a mile away from EWTN. And then, you know, since we are a small community, we are under the diocesan bishop. We are called a public association, public clerical association of the faithful. So the bishop is really our superior. So out of respect and love for him, we do assist in the diocese in any way you can, in any way we can. Most of this is through covering masses and helping with confessions there. And then all of our friars, you know, they're engaged in doing parish missions, speaking at conferences, different works of evangelization, especially, well, of course, through EWTN media, but also through our own media endeavors, which is MFEA media. You know, we do have a strong presence on, of course, our website and all of the social media platforms. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, we're going out there talking to people about Jesus in the ways of St. Francis with the charism of Mother Angelica.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, I mean, one of the things here at Array of Hope is that we're always trying to, it's almost like we have to reinvent ourselves every year because the culture is constantly changing. Oh, yeah. And how can we be most effective to resonate? So something you said resonated with me. So one of the things that's been placed on my heart is also to bring back the stray. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about how you do it.
Okay. So, you know, like one thing is that we've seen in this later, especially the later part of the 2010s, the early part of the 2010s, you know, we see what they call influencer sort of media, you know, and influencers, they're reaching people through entertainment, comedy, how to, you know, hacks and all of these sorts of things, you know, trying to inform people. And of course, that has become a big marketing tool for many corporations, organizations, and things like that. But what really makes them so captivating is that they're conveying themselves or presenting themselves like everybody else. You know, they're human. And especially with these younger generations, we say the later millennials, the Gen Zs and below, you know, they when you look at the market research, what they really want is they want authenticity. Right. They want people who are what they proclaim to be. And that is very true of evangelizing. Be who you are, be who God created you. You know, put the cards down just the way you are, you know, and, you know, yeah, be your authentic self, you know, a personality. And so that's one way to do that, you know, especially in these times of a digital media. Of course, you know, there's where most important, there's an approach, mercy, you know, mercy is that, you know, people need to be met where they're at, and that's where Christ meets them. If they're down, Christ is there to pick them up. And, you know, we are the mind of Christ. We're the heart of Christ, the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ to pick them up. You know, sometimes, yeah, we got to say the truth, but we got to do it with love. We got to meet them where they're at. And because a life with Jesus is about being raised up. You know, it's about redemption, restoration, you know, and this is what mercy is all about. Starts with just your approach, meeting them where they are and building them up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think you said a lot of really good things. I mean, being honest and so people can detect your sincerity, that you're not judging them.
Especially these younger generations these days. They just got an eye for it. Yeah.
They know it. They sniff if you're fake.
Yeah, they want some transparency.
These guys are telling me all the time, we got to really go to the level that is relatable to the people that we're trying to evangelize to, right?
That's right.
You know, the conduit has to be recognizable to the person we're trying to reach, or else the conduit doesn't work. So, and that's, like I said, that's why I say we kind of reinvent ourselves over and over because that's constantly morphing.
Oh, yeah.
That's constantly changing. But I think the impetus, as you shared, is love. We have to be loving. Right. We have to be a source of, if the Lord's going to be merciful with us, we have to be merciful and understanding to people that are sharing themselves to us, or else we don't even have a chance of sharing the gospel to them.
Amen.
You know, because people will shut down, right, Father?
That's right.
So it's really interesting, challenging, and yet really beautiful how evangelization evolves constantly, you know, but the constant, like you had said, is really the example of Jesus.
The example of Jesus.
The example of Jesus.
And that's why St. Paul says is that, hey, you can do everything, speak in tongues here and there and everywhere, but if it doesn't have love, what is it worth? It was nothing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, so you personally, of course, you have a devotion to St. Francis, but are there any other saints that inspire you, that you read, that you feel? I mean, there's hundreds of saints. Yeah. And I'm personally on this kick that I'm trying to learn more about saints' lives because I'm inspired by how they experience life, how they devoted themselves to becoming more holy. Right. Is there anybody that outside of St. Francis that...
St. Anthony of Padua, you know, he's one of my go-to saints. Of course, St. Leonard is my patron in religious life, but my legal name is Anthony.
Oh,
and my
that's
father,
my confirmation name.
Hey, there you go. Hey, yeah. That's why
Saint
we connect,
Anthony.
Man. Yeah.
All right, brother.
So
I knew that.
So like my dad, before he went to Vietnam, he prayed to St. Anthony. He says, St. Anthony, he says, if you bring me back home safely, I will buy a statue of St. Anthony, and I will name my second son Anthony. So he comes home from the war and all that, and the first thing he does is goes down to Mexico, buys himself a big St. Anthony statue. You know, my parents lose their first child. They end up adopting a second one, and then I come by surprise, you know, Anthony. So they name me Anthony. Here's little Anthony now. So he's always been sort of my protector. Of course, when I lose things, I go to him.
Everybody does.
And he always finds it. Not always in the time I want it, but he finds it. And so, yeah, St. Leonard, St. Anthony, you know, St. Anthony Claret, Mary Claret. You know, he was a Claretian. He's the founder of the Claretians, but had a strong devotion to the Eucharist and to Our Lady, which are, again, pillars of our community. Before I went into the community, I had a devotion to him, you know, and so, yeah. And so I like St. John Bosco, you know, because he is about repairing, restoration, you know, taking kids, taking people and teaching them and developing them, building them up. And so he's always inspired me in that way. You know, and of course, like Saint Clare of Assisi, her love for the Eucharist, for Jesus, Saint Therese, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross. I love their spiritual writings.
Yeah.
You know, I go to them a lot. You know, and of course, I see Saint Francis in them.
Yeah.
But yeah, those saints all work for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I've been reading like Saint Catherine of Siena.
Oh yeah,
Saint. Alfonso Liguori.
Alfonso Liguori, yeah.
Which is St. John the Cross.
Right.
What I found in common, and this is going to be my next question, is that, you know, generations today, young people, a lot of them get stressed out. A lot of them are medicated to deal with anxiety. There's a high propensity for suicide. The rate is going higher and higher. I find in these saint writings, the answer is how they deal with stress and how they seek for peace really within themselves. And I'm trying to figure out how to convey that, the messaging of that there's, if we look to the lives of the saints, there's a lot of answers there. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that you can share that pertains to how does a culture that is really stressed and overstressed regarding raising a family or financial, you know, concerns, and how can we certainly rely on Christ, but are there other ways that we can, you know, find peace in times of struggle?
Of course, you know, we look to the lives of the saints who were, you know, they're normal people just like us. You know, you do have these unique saints who are just kind of born to be saints. You know, your Saint Padre Pio's and all of that stuff. But you know, in these days, especially beginning with Saint John Paul II, John Paul the Great, and him canonizing many lay people. You know, you have like the parents of Saint Therese,
right?
You know, who are canonized,
Zelli
and Martin yeah. and all that. And so, hey, there you go. There are examples there. And, you know, one thing is that we hear the saints. And which is very common of all of them is their personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. And many times when we are under stress, we're facing hardships that look like resolving them may be impossible, insurmountable. You know, sometimes we're letting ourselves carry that. And sometimes it's just a simple going to God and to Jesus and says, Lord, I give this to you. Help me out of this, you know? And it's that easy. And then that's where the relationship is getting personal. And so what the saints were able to do is they were able to look at the life of Jesus and Jesus's hardships and to say, this is how my life is identifying to the life of Jesus Christ. He's been there. He's done that. And he's already conquered it. And so with him, I can do all things. That's why St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then the saints are living proof of it.
Yeah. No, it's so right. I mean, it's not that we're saying that what the saints have wrote is superior to the gospel. What the saints have sharing with us is how to be connected to Christ
and how
they
Christ.
Did it.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's so valuable because it's a little different than scripture. It's more, it's neither more or less. It's just a different way of getting to Christ, really.
Sure.
You know, a way that can be, in many cases for me, sometimes a little bit more relatable because they lived a life as I am living a life today.
Right.
So it's beautiful. And I have a devotion also to St. Francis as well. And we shared our story about going to Assisi.
Yes.
You know, and I shared you the story that I went all the way up the hill at the top of Assisi where St. Francis used to take a nap on the ground. And I grabbed some of the dirt thinking, well, maybe this is a third class relic. I'm going to take it to America, which I have here at the Array of Hope office. Is that considered a relic or what?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
If you say so, it is. I'm in. So I guess, Father, I guess one last thing I wanted to ask. Is there anything that's on your heart that you want to share with our audience, something that the community is doing, something that you're doing? I know that you're here, you know, in Old Tappan, New Jersey, because you're kind of making a little bit of a journey and visiting some communities, and you're now going to Canada. What is it that you want to share with our audience?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, God loves you, you know, and that's where we got to start, is we always start in the love of God. Yeah, because we're all, you know, we all face many troubles these days, you know, and at every time, you know, we're being bombarded by all kinds of messages and voices. Hey, but God still loves us. And here, as we said earlier, here's Jesus who already faced all that. And so here the victory is his. And then just to know that God loves us, that he gives us life. This is really the Franciscan idea, is how God's love flows through us and how he provides so much for us. Out in the world and through creation, through nature. But really starting with our own life is that here is God giving me more time because he loves me. And here, if I go to Jesus, he's going to rescue me in whatever hardship I'm in. And that Jesus does not give up on us. You know, he does not give up on us. He's always ready to take us. Of course, he loves us the way we are. He loves us so much. He doesn't keep us the way we are, but he builds us up. You know, and that is the saving message I love to share. And that's what I take with me everywhere I go. You know, here we are, you know, we're coming through here, New Jersey, my assistant and I, Gus, and we're on our way to Toronto. But hey, we're taking the love of the Lord wherever we go, you know, and hoping that catches fire, you know.
Yes, amen.
That is a spark. And
yeah. So I guess to share with our audience, you can find, you know, Father on EWTN. He's on typically in the mornings celebrating Mass. And maybe, Father, you could share the social media platforms, they can find you there.
Let's see. Our website is FranciscanMissionaries.com. Of course, there we have all the links to where we're at in the social media and what platforms we're on. But Instagram, it's at Franciscan Missionaries. Facebook, Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, YouTube, Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, and then also the same with X and Twitter. And then you can also see us on Spotify, or hear us on Spotify, I should say. Yeah.
And of course, EWTN.
EWTN, yeah. And then also on our website, we do have a newsletter that we send out every month with pictures, colored, and inspirational articles and things like that.
Yeah. And a lot of our viewers and listeners might know Father Mark Mary, mm-hmm. who—
For Life on the Rock.
For Life. That's when I initially met you guys back then, you know, and became acquainted with your, you know, your community and what you guys are about. So listen, Father, God bless you. Thank you so much for, you know, coming here.
Hey, well, thanks for the invitation, you know, and hey, you also gave us a great lunch, man.
Well, you know,
you've been such a gracious host, you know.
My team knows Italian food.
Yeah.
My team knows Italian food is really important to me. Second to God.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you, Father.
Hey, God bless you, Mario, man. All right.
Okay. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. In addition to producing a Reason for Hope podcast, A Ray of Hope produces high-quality concerts, retreats, and parish missions. Go to our website and click on the Experience drop-down option on our menu to see how A Ray of Hope can help share the gospel with your parish or community in person. Until next time, peace.